praise God.
Praise God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Glory to God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In reverence to God, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this opportunity to study your word. Bless your people for the sacrifice of being here tonight. We pray that you would impart truth and understanding. Give us the power to not only hear and see the principles, but to practice them, where you may receive the glory and we the good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you as you are seated in the presence of the Lord. I am led, and as I am led, I'm always amazed many times at how God will cause us to look and relook, be refreshed in a certain truth or principle. But one of the things that we're going to deal with in the study tonight is a familiar subject, but it is so connected with our blessings and with our breakthroughs, etc. And believe it or not, the enemy has hoodwinked us concerning this subject. And so we're going again back to the subject of forgiveness, letting go, letting God, and love. Why is all of this important? Because you're going to see through Scripture how if we get the right understanding of what God is saying about this particular subject, how it affects so many areas of our lives, so many connections and relationships with our lives, and how we are more in control of the blessings in our lives than we realize. And much of it has to do or not to do with this issue of forgiveness, letting go, letting God, and love. First of all, Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, when we look at this verse and we see it, now many of the things that most of us miss is when we are familiar with a verse, many times because of the familiarity, we lose sight of the revelation that God continuously gives to us as we revisit these verses. These are no new verses. This is nothing new that you've not heard. But the reality is, as you start getting into them, God starts revealing more about them, showing you more into that verse and giving you a better understanding and how it works and applies to the various areas of your life. First of all, it says, and be ye kind one to another. Now, let's look at that and slow it down a little bit. Everybody is not always kind to everybody. We're not always kind to everybody. Everybody's not always kind to us. And that's a fact. But God commands us to be kind one to another. That is, everything that's in here is already what God is demonstrating toward you. You are representative of God. So if you're representative of God, there ought to be some signs in your life that again suggest and states that you are a child of God. Kind to one another, tender-hearted. We can't be so hard-hearted, so cold, so stiff-necked that we can't see a brother or sister hurting, or we can't see a brother or sister in need, that we become so cold and hard-hearted and, well, they deserve that, they this, that, and the other, or they didn't work hard like I did, so they don't deserve, blah, 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 on and on. This issue that we deal with many times, being tender-hearted, having a spirit of kindness, opens unto us the power of God to flow through us to them. And listen, it's not coming from us anyway. It's coming from God. God just wants to utilize us to send the flow of his blessings through. It says forgiving. Now that doesn't come until after you're kind to one another and tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even, look at this word, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now when it all boils down, whenever you get to the point where somebody has made you so mad or somebody has disturbed you, destroyed, you know, your faith in them and whatever the case is, to the point where you won't forgive them, go back and look at the fact that what God did, he did at the price of his son's life. That we didn't deserve it, that we were unworthy, we were unrighteous, we were as even our righteousness as filthy rags in his sight, but yet he gave his only begotten son. So here's what we need to know. Our forgiveness comes at a cost. So when you forgive somebody, it may be hard and it may be costly, but you're just following the paradigm that God set in the beginning. He forgives us not because of us, but because of his son. What his son was willing to do to bring us back into a right relationship and fellowship with his father. So when you look at this and understand this, you begin to realize that God did it even as God did it for Christ's sake in forgiving us. So every time we go to God, God forgives us when we repent sincerely of whatever it is we're repenting and confessing because of what Jesus has done. If he wouldn't do it, that would have meant his son's life would have been in vain. And he's not allowing that to happen. So that's one of the reasons why we recognize it. Let's look at the definition of forgive. To grant pardon for or remission of an offense, a debt, etc. To give up all claim on account of, remit, a debt, obligation, etc. To grant pardon to a person. To cease to feel resentment against. To forgive one's enemy. Now all of these are definitions I definitely want you to look at, get in your spirit. To cancel an indebtedness or liability of, to forgive the interest owed on a loan. Now when you begin to look at all this, you know when people say, I can forgive you, but I can't forget, they hadn't truly forgotten because they hadn't forgiven. Because when you really forget it, you're gonna see God's word makes clear. A part of forgetting is easy when you forgive. It's only when you keep record, keep count, keep tabs, file it in file 13 so that you say it's the trash file, but when mad day comes, you go back to that file and you pull it up and you pull it out and you read a laundry list. This ain't the first time you did this and you did this and blah, blah, blah. Well, then here's what you realize. All of these definitions parts of definition for this word says that all of this is a complete sum of what you really do when you forgive. And what's important is when you cease to feel resentment against a person, it's clear evidence that you have forgiven him. You know, when you can see somebody, you say, well, I forgive you. All right, okay. Then you don't speak to him, you don't talk to him, you see him, you got issues with him, you hear their name called, you got issues with him. You haven't really forgiven him. You resent them still. You resent God still letting them breathe. Young sit there and act all holy in the now. You're like, I don't know why that worthless. I don't know why the Lord ain't take them now. Whatever the case, you want God to sick them, just destroy them. Because that's resentment still in your heart because you have not truly forgiven them. It says to cancel indebtedness or liability, to forgive the interest owed on the loan. Some of us say, well, I forgive you, but you're still holding count because you're still collecting interest. And when the right time comes, you're bringing that back up again to work in your favor, not theirs. But now listen to this. It takes a lot of work for you to hold on to stuff you ought to let go. It takes a lot of work for you to deal with and get beyond. And you don't really get beyond because as long as you've got it recorded and as long as you're holding on to it, it's affecting you. Now I'm going to share some things with you from the word. First of all, we got to see our place as it relates to God. We are forgiven by God. The word says, Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, this is God speaking now. Now, here's what's important about this. There are three categories God deals with here that he's going to put behind him. First of all, he says, I will be merciful to their one unrighteousness. So there's the arena of unrighteousness. But then secondly, there's the arena of sin, willful and conscious transgression against God's law. And then thirdly, there is iniquity, which means vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. But here he says, in these three arenas, because I'm going to deal with you mercifully, I'm going to help you out by not remembering what I've forgiven you for. Now that's important to remember, because God shows us how to deal with unforgiveness, how to deal with forgiveness, and how to deal with it based on how he has dealt with it. For first of all, he says, I'll be merciful. If you will learn how to be merciful to those who don't deserve, see, that's where mercy comes in. Mercy is not earned, it, and it's not deserved. It's because of the person who gives or allows it is the reality of the true essence or source of mercy. So mercy doesn't come from you to get to you. Mercy comes from another to you. And so you got to realize that when you apply mercy, it is always to an undeserving situation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay? So whenever you are merciful, it's to somebody that don't deserve you doing it in the first place. So once you understand that I'm doing something I don't have to do, I'm not ordered to do that, but I am making a determination to be merciful. Nobody could make God be merciful. Look at what he says, for I will be. It's of his own will, his own volition. So you folk, listen to this well, you ought not put people in a place or a position where they have to beg for your mercy. He says, for I will be merciful. Not please have mercy on me, because they know you got your mind made up and they ain't getting no mercy. But if they beg hard enough, it may touch a little spot. But no, you got to take the high road and say, listen, I'm already going to make it an act of my will to be merciful in this situation. And so in all these three areas, look at what God says. Will I remember no more? I'll share with you a little bit later in scripture why this is important to remember. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not, here it is, remember thy sins. Now, one of the things that you've got to realize that God is showing us is you bless yourself by forgiving others. Have you ever heard of a pack rat? What does a person who's called a pack rat do? Okay, let me get a hand because we can sing together, but I'm missing you talking together. All right. They hate to throw in the wind. They just hold and store everything. All right, that's exactly right. And whatever else derivative of that, that's basically what it is. Well, see, when you don't forgive, you're like a pack rat. You hold all of that in. You got to keep a record of the information. You got to store it so you can go back and get it where you put it at. You work yourself overtime trying to hold on to some stuff. But here is the problem, that in the midst of holding on to it, every time you run across it, it reopens that wound. It resurges that pain. It keeps you in a place where you are hurting yourself. The actual act that hurt you a long time ago has passed on. You are holding on to it, and those memories resurface when you go back or run past that should have been forgiven and forgotten and done away with, but is stacked and stored for another day. So he says, for mine own sake. Now listen, this is a helpful holy hint as to be able to move past a hurt or pain or someone who's done you wrong. You forgive them for your own sake. I don't want to waste brain space, heart space, worrying and hurting behind some stuff that didn't happen, and I can't change it. They can't change it. We can't do nothing about what has passed, but we can learn from it and deal with the present and operate in it so that it doesn't repeat itself with the same consequences or repercussions in the future. So beyond that reality, I have no reason to hold on to that stuff that hurt me then and keeps hurting me every time I think about it and revisit it. So he says, for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Because if I remember the sin, then I got to remember the sinner. And if I remember the sinner and the sin, both of those work on my heartstring, my emotions. And then when I think about why you did that and you had no right to do that and I've done nothing but good to you, and on and on and on and on, who do you work up? Nobody but yourself. And so God says he doesn't even do that for his own sake. Look again. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, if God has forgiven us, given us his son, who stepped in our place, took our punishment and our penalty, then God has given him the ability to put us in a right relationship and standing with God himself. So if Jesus has taken our sins, paid our penalty, took our punishment, then God forgives us because of Jesus, and he has made us righteous, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus transferred that to us and then paid our penalty and death and debt. And when he rose again, his righteousness and all that he was rose with him. And so now he no longer lives on this side, but he's on the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. He is our righteousness. So whatever righteousness we experience, it's because of the Son of God. He's paid our penalty. He's taken our punishment. He stood in our place, and he intercedes on behalf of us to the Father. He's our advocate. Every time the devil says he doesn't deserve it, she doesn't deserve it, look at what he's done, look at, Jesus said, yes, but I paid for it, Father. Look at these scars in my hand. Look, he reminds his Father of why he has done what he has done, and he's done it so the Father could be happy and we could be whole. So when you look at this, for he had made him to be sin for us. Everything that we have done, fallen short, Mr. Mark, Jesus has become that for us. So if he's become that for us, then we don't owe the debt anymore. Jesus paid the debt. So if he paid the debt, we don't owe that to Satan anymore. If we don't owe that to Satan anymore, we're no longer slaves to Satan anymore. So that means if we who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who are born again, who have the essence of life in us through God's Son and his Spirit, then that means when we mess up, we fall short, we go to God. God has promised that he will forgive us and he won't count those things against us as it relates to our sins and shortcomings. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption, we've been bought back through his blood, listen, for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, one of the things I love about what Jesus did, he didn't just pay it, he paid it all. You know, if you've been to lunch with my, look, I'll treat you to lunch, but I ain't buying no dessert now. You know, or I'll buy you dinner, but listen, can you handle the tip? Well, you know, if you're going to treat me to dinner, can you just treat me to a complete dinner with the tip? I mean, you know, here's what Jesus did. Jesus paid it all. Here's what you've got to see. Thank God that he has paid for, when we accepted him, all of our past sins. That's enough to shout about. That's enough to rejoice about. But if he had just paid for our past sins, what would have happened to our present sins? Could we make it to heaven if he hadn't taken care of the present and all he did was take care of the past? If he just came and said, listen, everything you've done wrong, messed up, and all, I'm going to take care of that. Don't worry about that. The devil can't hold none of that against you. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But 1 John reveals to us that, and he's talking to the born-again believers, if we say we have, not had, no sin, he makes clear that we are fooling ourselves, that we are lying to ourselves, that we are hoodwinking ourselves, because even though we are saved from sin past, the reality is there is still sin present. All sins are not moral sins. They are sins of omission, things God told us to do from His Word. We know we're supposed to do. His Word said it. We don't do it, guess what that is? Well, James says, if we know better and don't do it, what is it?
Sin.
So if we just go through the Word and say everything that we know we're supposed to do that we've not done in the Word is present sin, right? Now, what about the things He told us don't do and we do? Well, that's another area of sins that we have to deal with. That's the sin of commission, all right? Well, you know, that's fine too. But then there's another area called the sin of volition. That's willful sin that you, listen, devil ain't had nothing to do with making you do that. You did that because you wanted, you premeditatively did that. You got dressed and got yourself together to go do that. Don't act like you just fell out there. You planned, made plans to do what you did to sin. That's volition. There are things that happen and they just catch you off guard and you know, oh, and you messed up. But then volition is when you purposefully. Anybody made you do nothing. You did it because you wanted to. Anybody in the house will say, I'm guilty, Pastor, yeah. All right. Now, when you look at all of this, you see then,